Loudance.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Ray Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 233 of Nerd Pride Radio. 233, Zenvo's carbon fiber ST1 model car introduced in 2009. What?
I was going to say, you mean the one introduced in 2009 as if I knew what we were talking about?
Introduced in 2009. Only 15 of these vehicles were made, coming out of, where were they from? Denmark? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. But Zenvo's ST1, they made 15 of them for $1.8 million apiece, and they had a top speed, well, they still do, because, you know, they still exist, a top speed of 233 miles per hour. There. That's what I got for you. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Go on. Ask me again.
How you doing today?
I'm awesome!
How were you doing last week? We missed it.
I didn't. I was here last week. Where were you?
I was here in the form of a cardboard cutout.
I was here
in spirit.
So, yeah, you were. So, anyway, I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have run about fit in my colony.
Whoa. Where we go to Hayward.
Where we, me and my son Aiden, go every week to have run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in our collective skulls anymore.
For the hive.
My co-host this week is... There is no co-host.
Only Zool.
All right, before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast.
Oppenheimer!
That's right, it's time for a little meta-talk. Meta-talk is where I pull the curtain back a little bit and talk about the podcast, the website. Oh, wait, pull the curtain back, do some inside baseball, open the kimono. Forgot the open the kimono line. But anyway, I just talk about behind-the-scenes stuff. And those of you who have listened to last week's episode realize that I forgot to put in my music for the brand new word of mouth segment. So I apologize for that.
Well,
I commented
on it. What
is
our music for word of mouth?
Word of mouth? Why, the song is Bread and Butter, people. I like bread and butter. I like toast and jam. You're not familiar with?
I know. If I didn't know you so well, I'd think that you made that up off just the cuff.
Right.
But I know you're not nearly that clever.
No, in fact, I don't even have the original from back in the 50s or 60s or whatever it was. No, I have a cover of that song as done by Devo. So that was the music that was supposed to go in last week, but I forgot.
Made by who?
You know, Devo, Whip It, the...
Yes.
Is that like one of those things?
I know you've heard of Whip It. So, I just completely screwed up. I always leave a blank space and then I drop the music in later. Even when we comment on it here in the show, we're just making that up. There's no music there until later. And so, this time I'll get it right because I'm going to do another word of mouth segment today, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and my son Aiden, where we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes either one of us as interesting, mostly me, during the course of this busy, busy week, we add it to our master list, And the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record. You lucky dogs. All right, so straight in that master list. Actually, we didn't do... We have been just so busy this week that really this is going to be a summary of our busy, busy week. Because, let's see. Okay, no. I went camping last weekend, but you guys already know about that.
We went to Sioux City.
That was before the recording. And then we went to... Oh, yeah, we went to Sioux City.
And then we went to Lincoln.
Well, hold on.
On separate days.
Hold on. We went to Sioux City because we were babysitting my niece, Bug, and who... Her real name is not Bug, but that's what we call her. And she's adorable and wicked smart. And so we took her up to Sioux City, and we went to... what was the name of that place? The place. Launchpad. Thank you, Lisa. We took her to Launchpad, which is like a science-y activity kind of place. And that was awesome. We could have stayed in there forever. We didn't. But we could have because it was that much fun.
I couldn't have. My diner went out of business.
That's right. They had a part of Launchpad is there's a whole section where there's a play diner and like they've got the counter set up and the register and the grills and all this plastic pretend food. And Kaylee was working in there. That's Bug, Kaylee. And she was awesome at it. And she was, you know, really good about cooking food, serving food and all of this. Well, Aiden got back there with her and then Aiden just kept role playing. He was like playing the part of this sad sack. Diner owner whose business is failing around him and his family's kind of crumbling because, you know, money's really tight right now and I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And, like, he kept up this role play even when we moved on to other areas of the place. He kept up the role play. So we had a good time there and then we took her out to, Yes. Oh, yeah. And then it turns out that the diner, is actually sponsored by, is it because they got little plaques?
My place of,
yeah, they've got little plaques.
Work in real life.
And the business that employs him right now was the actual official sponsor of the diner section. So it was really meta. But from there, we went out for we went out for lunch, but that's not the important part. Then we went out to the Dorothy Peacock, I think, nature reserve, preserve, whatever it was. And we went out there, and it was really cool with all sorts of paths, and they've got wounded raptors that they are nursing back to health.
Whoa, like and dinosaurs?
Yes, you remember seeing the dinosaurs, Aiden?
No.
Right, it was an owl and a hawk and...
Silly,
silly dad, those are birds.
Because that's what a raptor is. The velociraptors that you see in Jurassic Park are dinosaurs. Raptor is a word for birds of prey. So, anyway, we had a great time there. But then, also this week, we went to... Lincoln to the Lead Center on campus there.
For a wedding.
And we went to Tony and Tina's wedding. And that was really cool.
Wait, isn't that a fake wedding thing?
Yes. Yes. Tony and Tina's wedding is, kind of a half improv, dinner theater.
Where you play one of the nameless wedding guests.
Yes. And so we all got to be wedding guests at the wedding. So we got to watch the wedding and then the dinner and reception and the whole business and, they got people out there to dance with them, and during downtimes, you know, they'd be playing a song. But if you're paying attention, I didn't want to go up and dance because while the dances are going on, you watch around the edges of the place. And, yes, some of the main characters of this big Italian family are up there dancing. But a lot of them are, like, hanging around the edges of the place, and there's, like, plot development going on. And so, you know, for at one point...
A pregnant bride, lady kept stealing people's food.
Oh, God, yeah, she kept stealing everyone's food. The bride, Tina, her ex-boyfriend, Michael, had shown up. And so Michael is there causing trouble and whatever. And at one point, Michael is hanging out over by the restroom. So, like, there's a dance going on, there's other people up front, and there's things happening. But we see him hanging out over by the restrooms.
The women's restroom.
Right, the women's restroom. And then we see one of the bridesmaids go over there and start talking to him.
It wasn't a bridesmaid.
Wasn't it?
It was the dad's girlfriend.
No, that's right, it was the dad's girlfriend. Yeah, the father of the groom brought his very young stripper girlfriend with him. And so the ex-boyfriend and the stripper girlfriend are over there by the bathrooms, and they're chatting. And suddenly, she goes into the bathroom, He waits. He looks around to see if anyone's paying
and
attention.
Saunters on
in. And then strolls on in behind her. And it was really funny. It was just this little bit that I don't think anyone but us saw. I don't think anyone else was paying attention to them. And so it was that kind of stuff. It was just fascinating. We had a really good time. And it was actually, it was really cheap and came with a meal. So, you know, God, you can't complain about that. We had a good time. It was me and Lisa and then the two older boys. So Aiden and Jacob both showed up and it was good.
The weirdest part about going to a play about an Italian wedding was that with our hair the way it was and our polo shirts, me and Jacob completely fit in.
Oh, Jacob and Aiden both could have been the surprise cast members that have been hiding in the audience the entire time. It really, they could have just, if they had stood up and started speaking with a bad Italian accent, everyone would have bought it completely. But anyway, we had a good time. So that was a lot of fun. All right. But let's see, what else did we do this week? We went to see a couple of movies. And so, oh yeah. Well, let's go ahead and make that a segment. It's the science fiction double feature. Science fiction
double feature. You can't just make segments off the cuff like this.
What? Well, yeah, actually, we totally can.
It is your personal rule that we go by the script every week when we record.
But no, you could do this anytime you wanted. Just make up segments anytime you want. You're allowed to do that.
You don't want to give me this kind of power.
Okay, you're right. You can't do that. From now on, no more making up segments. We're... Yeah. Even my wife is yelling from the other room that we really shouldn't give him any power at all. It's dangerous. So, anyway, it's our science fiction double feature. That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low price. And, what movies did we see?
We saw Hereditary and Ocean's 8.
Sweet. Which one do you want to review?
Ocean's 8
both
first.
Of them.
Ocean's all right. 8 first.
Well, yeah, I know, but I was wondering if you wanted to take lead.
I didn't go!
On Hereditary, since it's a horror movie, for example.
Hold on, can I get through?
So, hold on. Let's rearrange here so that Noah can join us. Alright, there we go. Now we've got Noah in here. And, so as long as he's here, we'll go ahead and do Ocean's 8 first, because we all went to see it together, except for Eli, who was a big spoil sport, and he didn't want to go.
He's a lame baby.
But, we went to see Ocean's 8, and...
Spoilers!
No, there's no spoilers. It's brand new. This is opening weekend for the movie. We're not going to do any spoilers at all. So really, all you get to talk about is whether or not
Ocean
you liked
died!
It.
Shut up, Aiden!
Am I wrong?
Okay.
Yes.
No, he's not wrong. That was in the opening of the movie that Danny Ocean is dead, which I guess I've never seen Ocean's 13. Did he die at the end of Ocean's 13?
I think he died in Ocean's 18, actually.
Was he? I don't know if he's supposed to be dead. Was that just a scam at the end of that last movie?
Ocean's 31?
So here's the basics of the movie. It's a very good heist movie.
Yes, it is a very good heist movie. And it's a heist movie featuring all women. Or almost all women, and
God,
it was
the feminists are taking over.
And as they said, hopefully this movie has featuring 8 strong female characters. Hopefully, it inspires other young women to go out and start committing crimes because they can do anything men can do. So it was pretty awesome.
Hashtag femcrime.
Hashtag femcrime. So anyway, Aiden, how'd you feel about the movie?
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Though what I've been telling people is that I thought it was a really good heist movie. I don't think it was a great heist movie in that...
It's no Ocean's 22.
Right. It's no... Look, to me, Logan Lucky, I loved that movie. That was a great heist movie. That one... And I think what's missing is... I liked Logan Lucky because it had very interesting characters, which this one did too. This one had really interesting and strong characters. I loved them. But I felt like in Logan Lucky, you were seeing some character growth and movement. Like there was some real interplay and drama between the players and some development among people. And it was, I don't know, it felt more dynamic. For being a stupid heist movie, Logan Lucky, I thought, played out really well.
See, and the thing I like about Ocean's 8 over the original Ocean movies is that in in the original Ocean movies, there was always this twist ending of, this is what we were actually doing.
Uh-huh.
And there was no hint to it. It was all done in silence or off camera.
Uh-huh.
And there, like, was no way that you could ever... But this one, there was the twist, not gonna say what it was, but every single bit, every single clue is broadcast.
Yeah, if you were paying attention, and I clearly was not paying close enough attention, because I didn't figure out anything ahead of time. I'm just along for the ride. But yeah, he's right. And I also like, as opposed to Ocean's 11, or 12, or 13, even 11 was too many people for a heist, or at least too many people for a heist movie, because then you've got so many people to keep track of that some of them just don't get enough screen time or don't really matter. It's like, you know what, I can see how this heist could have been pulled off with, you know, two less people. Whereas in this one, I felt like every character mattered and they were all important to the the plot, and it's a lot easier to follow your characters when you only have seven or eight major characters that are running it. It's a lot easier to keep up with it.
By the way, I personally think this movie was better than Ocean's Pacific.
Oh, you're so sad. Okay, so anyway, that was Ocean's 8. So, and then, sorry, that was a bad transition, wasn't it? I had to pause it to get Noah out of here, and then I went from so to and I should have left a little space in there. Darn it.
Swand, so, it's your new word.
So bad at this game. Me and Aiden and Lisa went and saw Hereditary this weekend, because, you know, MoviePass, what are you going to do, right? Speaking of MoviePass, by the way, MoviePass had an error in the app this weekend that has to do with some updates that they were doing and some updates to Android iOS. As a result, my wife's phone suddenly declared that it was no longer authorized, that she's logged in on some other device, and thus she cannot use her phone. And so we wound up having to pay for the movie out of pocket when we got to see Hereditary. And turns out that, yeah, we figured out that this was an update issue, so we got it all sorted out. But, oh, my God, MoviePass's helpline is so hard to get a hold of. We tried calling them that night, but, oh, you've called us after business hours. You'll have to call back tomorrow. Tried going to their frequently asked questions. It all suggests that we use the live chat, but we can't use live chat because she can't log in. Oh, it was frustrating. But then the next day, and it took an hour or so, a couple hours, but finally got a hold of somebody, and they went ahead and reset it for us, and I said, okay, now how do we get our $9 back for the movie from last night? You're gonna have to contact them through the live chat. Okay, fine, whatever. So I contacted them through the live chat, and they said, well, you know, we can only reimburse you if you actually purchase the ticket on our instructions. If we didn't tell you to buy that ticket, we're not gonna reimburse you for it. And I said, no, of course you are, because I couldn't get through to you. You had no help available to me. I couldn't live chat with you because the app was down, and it was your fault the app was down, and I couldn't get a hold of you because you don't have people on the help desk at that hour of night. So therefore, I had no recourse whatsoever. So how about you get this straightened out for me? And finally, after some finagling back and forth, they're like, all right, well, as a one-time courtesy. So what I would like to say is that MoviePass support actually made good, and so therefore I'm willing to brag them up now and say, hey, you know what, stick to your guns, be persistent. They'll take care of it. It just takes a little long because they're not well-staffed, but they'll get you there eventually. So that was our issue with MoviePass. Sorry, didn't mean to rant. All right, now to Hereditary. Hereditary is a horror movie from A24. I love A24. And it is a horror movie starring Toni Collette, and look, at the beginning of the movie, the grandma dies, and grandma clearly was some kind of over-controlling, terrible woman, and then the family is grief-stricken, bad things happen.
Not grief-stricken.
Troubled, and there seems to be maybe something supernatural in the background, but maybe it's just your imagination. Maybe
it's Maybelline.
Right. Oh, I can't believe it's not butter. So, Ed, how's your opinion on it without giving anything away?
I thought that it was really good near the end.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it took far too long to start being a horror movie.
Okay, that's because he's a millennial and he doesn't understand how good movies
work.
Well,
no, no, I get it. That they're building a story.
I'm completely teasing you on
that. But the elements of horror, I don't mean to dwell on this, but this is the one thing I'm good at. The elements of horror in the movie are really good. It's one of those movies where when the horror is going on, there's a bunch of things in the background that just build suspense. And, like, they'll linger on a shot too long, and they'll build this creep factor, which mm-hmm. is really what you've got to do in a good horror movie.
Look.
You can't just rely on these jump scares like a lot of movies do.
Look, I was hooked all the way through this film. I mean, you got to know, the opening to this film is slow. And then, it's slow.
The middle is slow.
Yeah, and then after that, it's slow. It takes a long time to build.
It is a 2-hour movie, and the last half hour.
Yeah, but to me, I was hooked by that. I thought the characters were great.
Absolutely.
And I was on the edge of my seat the entire time, all through all that slow build-up. I was right there with them. I was ready. And then when it builds. And then at the end, mm-hmm. it had this ending that kind of, it was a bit much.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was a little, that's disturbing. I, you know what, I could have done without the last, you know, 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that
first.
Was, I thought that was good.
But, right. But, it also left me so disturbed that I'm like, it was really effective. It was very effective.
Yes, absolutely.
You're not gonna leave there with the, you know, your feel good movie stuff. You're not gonna leave there with the adrenaline surge of a great action movie. You're gonna leave there being a little disturbed. And that's, I think, what they were shooting for. And when we walked out, Lisa immediately said, I loved all of it except for the ending. She said, except for the end, I was fine. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But then, the more you let it sink in, it's one of those creepers that she's like, you know what? The more I think about it, the more I'm really liking it. It's still disturbing, but that's what they wanted.
And
it made you feel something, made you think.
And my measure has always been for a good movie, well, not a good movie, but a movie that does horror well, is it needs to be a movie that makes me keep my lamp on at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Very good. All right, that was the two movies we saw. All right, next up, I just realized we got to start moving. Next up, with the music this time, it's word of mouth. Alright, in the credits of every show, I tell you guys that word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. And the same is true for a lot of other people who make little or no money off of their artistic endeavors. And so therefore, I've decided to put my money where my mouth is, as it were, and share someone new with you every week. Not even new, but share with you someone who I think needs your attention. And again, over time, I'm going to repeat these because sometimes you guys need to hear it more than once. And this week, I am talking about a small podcast. It's relatively new. I think there's only like 7 or 8 episodes out. But it is called Troll Play. And Troll Play is, she tells you right in the opening credits, about a 20-minute podcast, and she'll tell you right from the beginning, Alice Fraser is the Australian comedian who is the primary host, that she did social media for a large company, and she said it was demoralizing and terrible because of all the trolls, all of the negativity, all of the hate that she finds on the internet. And so this is their opportunity, her and her two co-hosts, to take this trollish behavior from the internet and just have some light fun with it. It's not about trying to change anyone's minds. It's just three funny people just using these trolls and some other internet stuff to just kind of spark conversation, and they make jokes. And it is really, really uplifting. It is just a happy podcast. These three together have such chemistry. It is Alice Fraser, again, like I said, she's an Australian comedian, who is the primary host. And then there is, Cal Wilson, She is also a comedian, but she is from New Zealand. And then Sammy Shaw. Sammy Shaw is a writer and comedian who originally was from Pakistan and now lives in Australia. And he is also super funny. And the three of them together, I just think, have a great, great chemistry. And I really enjoy Troll Play. And, hey, this is my word of mouth. You guys need to go listen to Troll Play. Like I say, it's 20 minutes an episode. And it's just lighthearted, and it makes you feel good. They're just, they work well together. So there you go. Word of mouth. All right. Next up, Nerd Pride Book Report. How fast is the speed of
light? I don't know. Did it say in the book? Wait, hold on.
What?
What's a book?
See, that's right. Every once in a while, I read a thing, and when I do, you can make sure I'm going to come here and kind of humble brag about it that I know how to read.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should turn this segment from a book report to a book club.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're going to read them too?
If you give me a book to read.
All right. Well, I can link you to our Kindle stuff, and you can certainly pull these books up.
Absolutely.
So, and this is one I actually think you would really enjoy. This one, okay, remember in the word of mouth segment that I did, like, maybe, I don't know, 40, 45 seconds ago? I mentioned that the three co-hosts were Alice Fraser, Cal Wilson, and Sammy Shaw. Well, Sammy Shaw, the Pakistani-Australian comedian, he also is an author, and he writes nonfiction stuff, but this was, I mean, he does comedy and commentary and this kind of thing, a lot of it is about his experience as a Muslim and how that affects his travels and his business and all this. But this book was his first foray into fiction, and it's actually two books. It is a duology entitled Fireboy and Earthboy by Sammy Shaw. And the two books...
I feel like this might be just a playoff of either Avatar the Last Airbender or Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
No, as it turns out, it is... it is a fantasy novel set in modern day Karachi in Pakistan, and it is very much deeply rooted in his Islamic faith, or the Islamic faith of his youth, and he now proclaims to be an atheist, but it is very much rooted in his Islamic faith, and it is, the idea is, what if genies were real? Because genies,
God was one of us.
Genies, or jinn, if you want to use the original spelling and pronunciation. Jinn are a huge part of Islam, and they are essentially the creation between the angels and human beings, so that angels are created with absolutely no willpower. They are absolutely subservient to the will of God all the time, whereas the jinn have free will, much like human beings do, and but they live kind of in a different plane of existence. Instead of being made of earth, they are made of smokeless fire. So, among other things, and so he's trying to be as true as possible in these books to Islam and to the legends that these are all based around, and it is fascinating. So, what if they were real, and what if our main character, this is, again, no secret, you can see this early on, is he's half human, half jinn. And so what happens? And it's just, it is obviously there's some very autobiographical elements in here for the author, Sammy Shaw. And he is incredibly relatable. He came from an upper-class Pakistani family. And so our main character is a dude who is... He's a high school kid who plays Dungeons and Dragons with his friends, and he's into comic books and nerd stuff. And that essence of his nature is very key to a lot of things that happen throughout this book, these two books. And it's just fascinating. It is obviously a first novel. It is not, there are some elements of it that are, I don't know, a little simplistic, a little too easy. There's a section of the book where it feels
the pages
like
were just blank. It was
yeah, that's right. He just assumes we're just going to fill it in ourselves, and I mean, at least he gave us a crayon. So no, there's
I hate that.
There's sections of the book where obviously he had some narrative stuff to give to us, And so it feels like the protagonist is just moving along, carried along by the course of events. And, you know, things happen and it gets him here, and then another thing happens and it gets him here, and all the way through it's like, yeah, but what choice did he make? Where's his agency in this? His, you know, he needs to be an active player. I'm like, man, I get that this is, you know, that this is his discovery of the world and what's going on, but man, I need him to have a little more agency before this is all over with. And sure enough, it picks up. That's the whole point, is that in the book, then he finally comes into his own in the second book. And anyway, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was flawed, but for a first novel, I thought this was really good. And it was with a familiar protagonist, so a familiar window into this world, it showed me a place that is completely different from my own experience in the streets of Karachi and in the culture and the way you get around, even as a well-to-do person in this setting, the simple basics of living that life. It was just fascinating. So, Fireboy and Earthboy by Sammy Shaw. I recommend them, but again, not perfect, but fun. And then, oh man, I'm reading yet another thing, and it may be one of the best things I've ever read, but I'll get to that one next week. So look forward to that. All right, good. Now we're all done. Did you have anything else you want to add for the Meticulously Pod portion of the podcast?
No.
You have been very patient with me, and I appreciate it. Because if not, I'm ready to get into the pod-o-matic. Damn it. Why do you never check? I blame you now. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Bride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, we bring out R2 and his fully pimped out automatic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for us to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask?
Well, that's where you come in, our fabulous listeners.
That's right, that's where you come in. If you want to hear us haver on about something, you got to send your questions or topics to us by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forum. Send me a private message with all your queries, all your topics, all your whatever. All right, I'm going to ramble on. We will add it to the Podomatic list, because Podomatic is about whatever you
want it to be.
Oh, and our first number, I'll let Aiden look that up while I pretend that I already have the list available to us.
Man, these numbers are really hard to read. Give me a second.
Yeah, I know. Take your time. I understand it's tough. All right, just give me the first one. The first one is the one that ends with a zero. It's the two-digit one.
What do you got for nine?
Nine. Okay, so we have a nine.
You really should have taught me how to read.
It's just numbers. You don't have to...
Wait, there's a difference?
Oh, God, man. All right. All right, hold on. I'm still stalling.
And I've been blessed with numerical brilliance. It's 90.
Oh, hey, all right. Ooh, what convenient timing. Hey, wait, here's the list that I've had up this entire time.
Oh, man. Here's my familiar.
Oh, yeah, here's my familiar who's been traveling with me this entire time. And this first one is from Kyle. And Kyle says, okay, you woke up and remembered you have to make 10 quick pitches to the movie executive for direct-to-video ripoffs of Die Hard. But they have to be something that hasn't been done before. So, no Die Hard on a boat, under siege. Die Hard on a train, under siege 2, Dark Territory. Or Die Hard in the stomach of a whale, Pinocchio. Go!
Die Hard on the International Space Station.
Oh, man, that's good. What's the name of that one?
Die Quietly.
That's really good. Okay, ready? Die Hard in a school.
He's in a comedy club. Die Hard on stage.
Ooh, nice. See, you're good at this game. All right.
Study hard. Die Hard in school.
Die Hard. Yeah, study hard. Die Hard on a bobsled.
Die Hard in a yellow jumpsuit. Die Hard Bill.
Die Hard in the middle of Nebraska.
All right.
Die Hard in the middle of Nebraska.
Oh, sorry, guys. Someone accidentally hit R2.
Hey, that doesn't matter.
This time it's 15.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I know how to read. What does it say?
It says 15.
Oh, okay. God. Don't gaslight me. All right. This is... Oh, Hey, this one's from my wife.
Why'd you sound so disappointed?
It's from Lisa. Lisa says, hey, what level are you on in Candy Crush?
Oh, good. I'm curious to find out as well.
Level one?
Dad.
1,221?
Is that the actual number?
Yeah, that's the actual level I'm on.
I was going to pause it so you go look it up, but I'm even more ashamed that you know it off the top of your head.
Shut up. Just shut up.
1,221?
Yes, but there's like over 3,000 levels, so clearly, I mean,
I'm not the one with the problem here.
That's right. Better question. You know, look, ask me. Here's the thing. Yes, 1,221. I admit that at one time, I had a problem, all right? But I've barely even touched Candy Crush anymore. You can't yell bullshit from the other room! Ask me how many levels I've actually completed this week.
How many levels did you complete this week?
29. But, see, now here's the thing.
Okay, you know what? You don't have a problem.
Yes, I did used to make fun of you, but... That was different. That was when I didn't play it.
See, you don't have a problem because you know what I calculated?
What?
There's only a little over 8,000 hours in a year.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Does that seem right? Yeah, no, 24 times 365. I suppose that's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, see, the problem is that I was wondering, man, I wonder if I've spent a year playing video games. And no, it's very, very easily I've spent over a year, maybe two, playing video games.
Wow. And you only have 20 years in your life, so you're pathetic. Oh, man. All right, my 1,000 levels of Candy Crush mean nothing now.
Well, I can make you feel better through my disappointments.
That's right. Whatever. It doesn't matter what problems I have. You have a gambling problem, Marge. So, anyway, hey, let's ring this one again. 79?
Couldn't tell if that was a 1 or a 7.
I had the same problem. That's why I held it up for you. All right, 79 is from Ronster. And Ron says, would you ever consider recording the Rise of the Runelords campaign you are playing as an actual play podcast? Well, no, because we do it all by text. So
I mean, it would all just be the tapping of keys, and I don't think it'd be too great to listen
to. Right, and I have tried to sort through the transcript of that, and it is not easy. You really have to speak Roll20. You have to know what's going on to understand, because there's lots of dice that interject, and it's all there in the chat thread, and it is not, it would not be good as a, I mean, look, if we were playing live, maybe, but I also feel like recording our sessions, I don't know. I feel like, A, it would change how we present ourselves during the game because we know we're being recorded, which might not be bad because it would mean we'd be more focused sometimes, more in character sometimes, which would be cool. But also, I feel like an actual play podcast needs a lot of editing to make it presentable. And I would never be willing to do that much work because I'm lazy. I don't know if I've pointed that out to you before. Plus, again, I'm just not a fan of actual play podcasts. I mean, I want to be. I've tried some that I've thought were really, really cool and a lot of fun. But,
oh man, 66.
66. And this is going to have to be the last one because we've really got to get to listener betrayal again. So, 66 is from Mrs. Darks. And she says, tell us your newest dad joke, or steal one from Kyle. The dad joke that I have on the board at work right now... Oh, wait, no, my favorite one. My favorite dad joke right now is a woman is standing up at her husband's funeral, and she says, does anyone else have something that they'd like to add? And a man stands up at the back, and he yells, plethora!
No,
she says,
no, he says, any words?
Yeah, does anyone have any words?
Oh,
you're
that's right.
Killing this joke. Oh. Die Hard on stage.
Die Hard, thank you. All right, fine. Does anyone have any words dad, and he stands up and says, "Plethora!" And she says, "Thank you, that means a lot." There, that's my whole
thing. Man, way less funny when you ruin it.
No, look, I still, the punchline still would have been just as good without the difference of, do you have anything to say, or do you have any words?
But if you say, do you have any words, then that opens up the possibility of just the one word.
Right, but also, if someone just stands up and says plethora, the whole joke is, it means a lot.
Right, but now you have the double entendre of, does anyone have any words?
Doesn't matter. Ah, oh, man. You could have just let me go. You didn't have to ruin it. You know what? Tell you what, guys. It doesn't matter because I'm editing all of this out. I'm just going to remove this entire section. And I'm going to replace it with a badly dubbed in voiceover of me doing the joke on my own without them.
I imagine it's just Loudens, and then it's just, and now on the listener betrayal.
I'm sorry. I know I said that was the last one, but I needed to shut him up. 04.
Did you just do my job for me?
04 is...
Did you just last one yourself?
Yes. Oh, the other one that I used is, I asked the doctor if I could apply my own anesthesia, and he said, sure, knock yourself out.
Oh!
All right. So this one's from Kyle, and Kyle says, bedwetter behead. Assume for the purposes of this bedwetter behead that we live in a world where time loops are perfect. Time loops are perfect. No alternate dimensions or branching timelines. Okay. Bedwetter behead, time loops are perfect. So, all right. Okay, you from 1980, which, if you're answering this question...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's way illegal.
That would have to be you from 2005. So for you, you're answering yourself when you were 10 years old. You, 1 week in the future, or Jesus Christ from 33 AD. Think about it. Don't be a selfish bastard. Wait a minute. Look, I'm going to, assuming, now look, I'm going to assume here that you mean Jesus Christ, 33 A.D., look, the dude was born in about between 4 and 7 B.C., B.C.E., if you want to be more exact. So, by...
Be more correct.
By 30...
Changing the nomenclature doesn't change the exactness of the numbers.
So, by 33 A.D., he's literally just a corpse. Or at least his physical body is just a corpse. And has been for several years. So therefore, I'm assuming you mean Jesus Christ, like, from the year of his death, his final year of life. In which case, look, I will... Alright. I'm gonna marry Jesus.
You know, can I just... I need someone out there to please just take that soundbite and text it to me or something.
I'm going
to
marry Jesus. Until death do we part. There you go. So, you know, I've got a few weeks with him. I'll follow him around for a while. And then I am going to... time loops are... Oh, screw you. Screw you, so I can't kill myself from 1980...
Oh, no, no, see, I have my answer.
What?
Kill my younger self so then the rest of the game doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Because I don't want to, I am not going to have sex with my younger self.
Oh, whoa, is that an option?
Shut up. I'm not having sex with my 10-year-old self. No matter what. And, you know what, I'm killing me from 1980. And then that leaves me to have an affair, assuming that I even exist after that point. I'm having an affair
actually,
with my future self.
According to the rules of the game, it is bed, then wed, then behead.
Oh, all right, yeah. So, all right, good. I will do whatever time travel I need to have some weird masturbatory affair with myself from the future. Okay, and then... wed, I will go marry Jesus Christ, and then I'll go kill myself from 1980, thus nullifying everything that I've already done. There. Done. Oh, God. Hold on. No, 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 wait, I didn't mean that. Woo!
88.
What's the number? Damn it. I hit the button before I thought about it, and then I was trying to
turn this off so you can stop hitting it, alright?
I was trying to turn it off before I released it, and he stole it from me. This one's from Phoebe. Phoebe says, which actor would you like to see as Doctor Who at some future point?
I want 70 years from now, I want a geriatric Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, look, at this point, you know what? They've gone with a female Doctor Who, so next, I don't care, any person of color. Although, you know what? I know this is cliche, because he seems to be the answer for every fantasy role for a black guy, but Donald Glover. So,
good Doctor Who, Finn Wolfhard.
Oh, yeah. God, that would be pretty cool. I wouldn't mind Finn Wolfhard either. But no, after they decide to move on from the female Doctor Who, I say Donald Glover. There, I'm set. All right, good. Now it's time to turn it over to GLaDOS. Wait, did you have an answer for that one?
I just said Finn Wolfhard.
You did say Finn Wolfhard. All right, excellent. I can't remember 30 seconds of the past. I'm a goldfish. So, here's GLaDOS. You give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Rodeo. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is, I don't even remember, it is, oh yeah, Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, and Bread and Butter as performed by Devo, plus Read a Book by They Might Be Giants. There we go. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Whew. If you want to do something to help out Nerd Pride Radio, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and then write me a nice review, or, alternately, a crappy review. Just give me 5 stars. That's all they care about. That makes the difference. But you want to do something super nice for this podcast? Recommend it to your friends, because you're enjoying it, so you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is
my bread and butter, people.
Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners. Do my work for me. Don't forget to send me your questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Oh, my contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, we'll hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, we go over to Facebook and we go over to my forums and we post up, hey guys, we are recording. Anything that you want to add, post it up and we will read it at the end of the cast.
So what, the Platinum members just get shafted in the intro now, or?
And that's what we're doing right now, is shafting the Platinum members. Yes, also, Aiden sends out a text to all of our Platinum members, and then they respond to him, and then he brags to me later about how he has way more people responding to Listener Betrayal than I do, because he's way better at it than I am. And then I get bitter and I cry, and my life is very sad. So,
His tears are delicious. First up,
that's right, because they taste like whiskey and lost dreams. So, first up is Facebook, and I have one response. Whew, you can't top that. My one response is from Kaz. Oh, yeah, I said, hey, we're recording episode 233 right now. Post here to be part of it and tell us the most awesome thing about you. So Kaz says, awesome thing about me, my son is going to be in his first musical in 2 weeks. Incredibly proud of him. Now, by the way, is awesome. Now, tell us an awesome thing about Lisa now that school is out. Oh, man. Well, Lisa's just awesome all the time. But all of the stuff that we did this last week, taking Bug up to Sioux City, having a fun outing. Oh, God, we forgot about Eli's birthday party this week.
Yeah,
Eli is 15, and so, you know,
he's
birthday parties are a little
like
passe.
Just...
He didn't even have any cake for it. He didn't want any of that. What he wanted was 8 of his closest friends to come over and
get locked in a room and shoot each other.
And we did, well, first we did 2 hours of board games where they did nothing but play Secret Hitler. We brought all sorts of stuff, but it was 2 hours of Secret Hitler, and they loved it and had a blast. And then it was an hour of laser tag. And all of it, dirt cheap. It was awesome. Oh, plus pizza. And so we just had a great time. It was a really cool party. And so again, all of this stuff that happened this week, we knew we were going to have Bug here. We knew we had Eli's party coming up. The dinner theater in Lincoln just kind of fell into our lap. She put all that together. And it was just, I mean, I'm exhausted. I am really exhausted. But, man, we had such a good time. It was a great week. It was like, I don't know, just a lot happened. So she's awesome. Love that. And then that's it for Facebook. It was just Cass.
Ooh, and so, do we actually have something for your site this time?
Of course we do. There's like 8 responses, dude. And they seem to all be a lie I had. So.
Are you complaining?
No, not in the least. Because I started off by saying, hey, we are recording later today. I started this at 10 o'clock this morning.
Oh, wow. Only 10 o'clock?
And my questions were, A, what do you want us to discuss? B, tell us about one pet that you've had or have. And C, what should be the title of this episode? So we have to draw the episode title from one of these, assuming they are quality. So, from Eliahad. First, he says, hi. A, Aiden should do a segment on some wild video game theory he's been working on.
All right.
What's your wild video game theory? Or do you want me to read through the rest of it while you
organize
your
one.
Thoughts? Okay. So he'll work on that. B, he says, one time when I got hit by a car while riding a bicycle, my cat, who was not very social, sat by my head and licked my forehead while I covered all my bruises in ice packs. She was very sweet about it. Aw, that was so cute. And then C, the title of this episode should be Dropkick Aidens. Oh my God, look, if we hadn't had so much going on this week, Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly were in concert together in Omaha this week at a venue that we go to regularly. I would have loved to have seen
also,
that.
Also, your answer for C very much ties into to my question that you'll hear later. But see, my theory is that all Bethesda games can take place in the same universe.
Okay.
Because you have, in Skyrim, they explain that there's an overarching existible universe.
Uh-huh.
And on this universe, there are different planes. There's Oblivion, there's Tamriel, there's all of these different planes.
Which is the one with the pandas?
You're thinking of World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's the same thing. All right, go ahead.
How dare you.
Go ahead.
And so, there are 18 planes that we have identified, but have not found a way to get to yet. In the lore of Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls and all this. So conceivably, those unidentified planes could be the world where the other Bethesda games take place.
Nice. That's pretty good. All right. Yeah, I don't play Bethesda games myself, but I've heard more than enough about them to go, yeah, that's plausible. Sure. All right. And, by the way, also, in addition to Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly playing in Omaha this weekend, you know who else was in Omaha this weekend? Puddle's Pity Party.
No way!
Puddle's Pity Party. Yeah, yeah. How disappointed are we that we were already too busy to go see Puddle's Pity Party? That would have been the best. I know. I know. Now we have to wait for him to come around again. So
next one is from Eliahad.
Hey, next one's from Eliahad. Now he's not answering B anymore. So, A, how much sleep do you get at night?
That's an odd question for me.
Sleep at night?
Because I get, and I made this very personal, I get 8 hours of sleep per 24-hour period.
Right.
Due to my job, I cannot keep a stable sleep schedule, and I can't sleep at regular intervals, so I get sleep when I can.
Right.
But I do get 8 hours per 24-hour period.
Right. I sleep usually 6 or 7 hours on a weeknight, and sometimes only 5, but usually 6 or 7 on a weeknight, and then usually 8 on a weekend. I've gotten to an age now where I can't sleep more than 8 hours. Once it rolls around to about, you know, even if we stay up super late, it'll come around to, you know, 7.5, 8 hours, and suddenly, yeah, it's 9 o'clock, and I'm like, 9 o'clock? I gotta be out of bed. I can't believe I slept that long. That's crazy. So, okay, sorry, that was creepy. Eli is playing a game. What are you playing, Far Cry?
Far Cry 5.
He's playing Far Cry 5, and he's inside a sewer, and he's walking out, and he's looking out through the sewer grate, and there is a red balloon. Just a solitary red balloon floating outside the sewer grate. If you've seen the newest version of It, then that scene would be very, very familiar to you, and it was creepy as all get out.
There's no way that's not a tribute to that, right?
You know, it's obviously a tribute to that. Has to be. So, anyway, so do you wish you got more sleep?
Oh, if I got any more sleep, I'd be missing out on, you know, life.
Right, yeah, I would like to sleep a solid 7 to 8 every night.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not detrimental at this point. It's about the right amount of sleep for me. Do you like sleeping? Yeah, I love sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of question is that? You're stupid.
C, episode title, an important part of your day. Alright.
Yeah.
I like Dropkick Aiden so far, but
actually, you know, an important part of your day could be our subtext.
That's true. It could.
Nerd Pride Radio, colon, an important part of your day.
Next one's from Eliahat. A, do you have rhythm?
Have you ever seen the Phineas and Ferb episode getting the band back together?
Look, I have moderate rhythm. I'm not gonna say I'm great, but it's all right.
There's an entire song in that episode entitled "I Ain't Got Rhythm."
Okay, but the next question is, do you have music?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got music. Do you have your girl? I have my girl.
Is this a reference I'm not getting?
I have my girl. Do you have your girl?
What? I don't. What's the joke?
Do you?
I mean,
not currently.
Okay. Well, could you ask for anything more? I couldn't.
I'm sorry. Are you?
I've got rhythm. I've got music. I've got my girl. Who could ask for anything more? He's a blank look. Sorry, dude. You lost him, Dave. But to go right along with that, the suggested episode title is Chasing Gershwin. I like that one. That's cute.
You also lost me on that one.
I'm still gonna go with Dropkick Aidens, but that's not bad.
That just sounds like you're domestically abusing me.
And thus, it is very appropriate. So, A, what is your go-to breakfast?
Pop-Tarts.
Oh. My go-to breakfast is usually, it's usually peanut butter toast, or a waffle with peanut butter, or a bagel with peanut butter, or something with peanut butter on it.
It's
usually starch and peanut butter, although I like peanut butter toast the best because I like the minimal amount of starch to go with my peanut butter. So there you go. But my favorite breakfast would be to do up an egg in the little microwave egg cooker thing. So I've got one egg, and then normally you would put that on like an English muffin or something and make a sandwich out of it. But I like just the egg with a slice of Canadian bacon and a slice of cheese on top of it, and then I just eat it like that, and I love it. So I think that's awesome. So anyway, let's see. Oh, all right. Dave continues, I found that you can do an egg and hash browns plenty cheaply, and it's a blank enough canvas that you can add veggies and make it anything you want. Mm-hmm. It's been really nice, relatively fast breakfast. Oh, yeah. The egg and hash browns, I mean, when it's literally, you know, in the morning, especially on the weekends, I can do, you know, 2 eggs and then dice up 1 potato. And you make a perfect breakfast for one, or even make it 4 eggs and a big potato, and you have perfect breakfast for 2. And yeah, you can toss in anything that's in the fridge. A little crumbled up bacon, a little cheese, a little veggies, if that's what you're into. Obviously not me, but I will do that for my wife. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. And then suggested episode title, The Best Part of Waking Up.
The best part about waking up is when you don't wake up.
Nice. I didn't even know you'd know that tune. All right, next. This is also from Dave. Aiden has to give Mike at least 3 genuine compliments.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Go on. 3 genuine compliments right now.
Your glasses don't make your face unbearable.
That is not a genuine compliment.
You're really confident for what you are.
That is a backhanded compliment, not genuine.
I enjoy your ability to let me come onto your podcast and insult you.
All right, taken.
You've been a loving father.
Yes. Come on. Silence is not playing off. You can't do it, can you? Oh my god.
You put... No. I'm actually physically trying. I've been put on the spot.
Oh my god. If he had asked me to give you 3 genuine compliments, I could have done it in a heartbeat.
I enjoy the fact that you push me to try new things.
That's a good one. All right.
I wanted to find one that wasn't too terribly cheesy.
Thank you. All right, and then Mike doesn't have to do anything, so there we go. Oh, darn it. I should have read the whole question. Because it actually says Mike has to then do the same for Aiden. If they're both super embarrassed by it, they only have to do one each.
Oh, come on! Why didn't no one tell me that rule beforehand?
Well, because I didn't read that far, and B, it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. Dave, you should not have given him that... emergency exit, so...
I didn't right. have that emergency
exit. So three genuine compliments for Aiden. Aiden, you are incredibly quick-witted.
Yay!
You are very fast. Like when we're recording this podcast, you come up with jokes off the top of your head that I am just astounded by, and you've gotten really smooth on this podcast. You have grown as a podcaster, as a radio personality, whatever you want to call it. You're doing really well on this, and I love having you on. You're a great co-host. Sincere compliment. Hey, dude, this new job, you have been unbelievably responsible, and like the fact that your history through high school was just that it seemed like, honestly, that there were times that you just didn't seem motivated for a lot of things. I mean, you got your stuff done, but you didn't seem motivated. And so I was a little worried when you got this new job, thinking that, oh, God, what if he's not motivated? What if he's not, because I always try and tell you, you get out there and you give your best and you show him that, even if it's a crappy job, you be the best crappy job employee that there is. And you've been doing that. And I've been just amazed. It's been several months and you've been really consistent. And I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
And, man, you have great hair.
I mean, the third one's always the most difficult.
It is too long right now. I honestly really think you need a haircut because...
think I need a haircut.
Yeah, it was looking so good for a while, but now it's kind of winging.
Yeah.
But you got your mom's hair, and you got that thick, healthy...
Thick with 2 C's.
Oh, thick with 4 C's.
That might be a little too thick.
This guy has great hair. And I'm very jealous of it because I have thin, limp, lifeless hair, which I have passed on to Jacob. So you're welcome, Jacob. Oh, yeah, and Noah. Noah got it worst of all. Ugh. So, anyway.
Hey, I mean, it could be worse. He used to be blonde.
Right. Hey, it could be worse. He could have gotten my ugly toes. Oh, wait. Yeah, he got those, too. Oh, well, he could have...
It could have been worse. He could have gotten Mom's ugly toes. Oh, no.
Insulting her.
Hey, it could have been worse. He could have gotten those Wemoff ears. Oh, he doesn't know. Forget it. All right, so anyway.
You can't just bring it up and have everyone else in the room be...
Oh, great-grandma's side of the family? She was a Wemoff. And the Wemoffs all had big ears. And if you look, Noah actually does not have gigantic ears or anything, but his ears are bigger than any of the rest of you boys. I mean, and again, they're not abnormally large because you guys got tiny ears from me. But we always, whenever we notice that his ears are larger than everyone else's, we always comment that, oh, he got those Wemoff ears. But,
all right.
So I thought you knew that.
God, I did not know that.
I wouldn't have made the reference if I realized I was all alone in this and had to explain it.
God, just sitting here telling inside jokes with yourself.
Oh, man. All right. And then his suggestion for a episode title, Pay It Forward. Yeah, no. All right. Nice. I mean, look, I appreciate all the effort you're putting in, Dave, because this is really great, great of you. You're awesome. But that was not your best effort. All right. Next, Dave says,
why is it so easy to downplay mental health issues? That's because in this day and age, it's perfectly acceptable to make jokes about them if you have them. So it's a very difficult kind of landmine to kind of tell what's a joke and what's a plea for help in disguise.
Mm. Yeah, look, the example he gives here is Phoebe's post from a couple days ago only highlights that fact more. The idea that we are so trained to believe that if someone has worse problems than we do, that our problems don't matter as much, or that we shouldn't have these problems in the first place. I mean, and this is parenthetically, he says, I mean, hell, I just deleted a sentence that was already walking back the idea that maybe this isn't a problem, or that it's less of a problem than it is. Your stuff is your stuff. It's not healthy to diminish that you're not feeling great just because someone else is having their own stuff.
And that's something I've always had a problem with, is that when you're having a conversation, when you're living life, and you say to someone something like, man, I'm really tired, only got like 2 hours of sleep last night, and that one person has to pipe in with, oh, you think that's bad?
Yeah, oh, you think that's bad? My grandparents lived through the Holocaust. So,
and I only got 1 hour of sleep last night because I got 6 wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah, it's, look, I agree with you, man. And this is something that I think I even did a segment on this ages ago. The idea that because you can point to someone who you think has it worse off than you do, thus you are not justified in complaining about your own problem. But the problem with that is, I wish I could remember where it came from. A guy did all these surveys, and out of the studies that they did, the people who actually were the worst off, the people who had the most actual problems to be depressed about or upset about, would almost universally, every one of them, and these were the bottom of the barrel, worst of the worst, these people really had true tragedy in their lives, horrible things happened, and that, yeah, they really should have full-on depression about this, and did, but they kept denying that their depression was valid. And even these people who had the very worst things happen to them would all say, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't have it as bad as, and then would give some examples of people who are, in their opinion, worse off, and go, so I really shouldn't complain. Like,
there are kids starving in Africa, so my unrelated problem isn't terrible.
And here's the thing, is that, to me, I understand all of this. It is not an issue that I personally have, because when I'm not feeling good about something, because I don't have clinical depression. I get depressed about stuff at times, or I get worried and anxious about stuff, but not to a point where it is a mental illness level, or that it's just the normal ups and downs of being a human being. And when I feel shitty about something, I always feel shitty about it, and I allow myself to feel shitty, and I'm okay with that. But I have so many friends, so many people I know who have, who do have clinical depression, or, who are going through bad times and suffering through stuff, and it just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy to hear people say that, yeah, but, you know, I can't really complain. I mean, look, Dave is absolutely right. You have to own your own problems, and you have to understand that, yeah, you know what? Other people have problems, and other people feel shitty about their horrible lives does not in any way detract from the fact that you have things going on, that actual events, or maybe chemical imbalances, or maybe, you know, who knows what it is, but you have stuff in your life that is making you feel shitty about yourself, and you need to work your way through
and
that.
See, I have a new life philosophy, and it's a little nihilistic, but it's actually helped me through a lot of things lately. It's like, you're never the only one to ever do anything ever.
No, that's pretty true.
You have these problems, and you're allowed to complain about them because, no, you're not the worst off in the world, but the hundreds of thousands of people around the world have nearly identical problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it is, I don't know. I feel like there are too many people out there that don't understand how depression works. Don't get it at all. And their answer is, well,
just go outside, cheer up.
Right, is, hey, have you thought about not being sad? Because that's what I do.
Oh man, had I thought of that, I would have been sad for the last 8 years.
Look, instead of sitting around here moping, why don't you go out and do something that makes you happy? Seriously.
Man, here, hold on. Let's write down a list of everything in the world, and I'll stop you when I hear one that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's just...
We'll be here all day!
I am completely on board with you, Dave. I think you are absolutely dead on with this. I could go on for hours about this because it is infuriating.
But let's not, because we're actually already running out of time.
Yeah, that there are actual mental illness deniers out there.
Absolutely.
Drives me crazy. So,
and not just for depression. It's for everything.
Oh, damn it. Episode title. You are allowed to have your own feelings.
Yeah, you win.
Ah, crap. It might be too long. I might do it anyway. We'll see.
Too right. Long's never been a problem for me.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what that's like.
No.
So, turned around so quickly. Oh, but seriously, no, you can't really complain because there's other guys who have it worse. So, Dave then says, quick, roll up something on the instant game tables.
Is this now, like the eighth time we've done this kind of thing?
Now, instead of designing an RPG setting, pitch a board game using those themes. You can pause the podcast while you do this. Aiden told me to tell you it's okay.
All right.
Oh, okay, we're back. We're back. And we have the charts. Go ahead.
87
is...
From Monster. What?
All right. Treetop Civilization.
All right.
All right, Treetop Civilization with... Let's see, we don't need... Oh, God, this is going to be really hard. Well, give me a roll on the tone table. That was setting.
88.
88? Suspense. Yeah, I don't really care about the tone yet, but we'll see. And now I need a thing.
69, dudes.
69 is robots or automatons of some sort, so.
I'm thinking robo monkeys.
Okay, good. Next one.
That's 03.
03. Is auditorium. Auditorium. Treetop Civilization. Auditorium. Robots.
A simple, easy, either board or card game based around high school robo monkeys.
Huh.
Like a kind of absurdist comedy kind of game.
Okay. Or Treetop Civilization? Where they are kids in the trees putting on a play. It's a school play that is being disrupted by robo-monkeys.
Or Treetop Civilization in an auditorium. It's a science fair and one of them runs amok.
Why does it have to be a Treetop Civilization? At what point does the Treetop Civilization add to this game without being just an unnecessary detail? I like, look... It is a science fair run amok.
With robots.
Which will include the robot monkeys or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But then why does it have to be a Treetop Civilization? What
because
makes
that's
that...
what we rolled.
Alright, well, we'll have to work out the details later. Alright, but that was good. So, alright, next up is... Oh, there it is. Episode title? It says, put on the spot.
And boy, were we ever.
Next one is from Dave. Dave says, Bedwetter Behead! Captain Malcolm Reynolds, Inara Serra, and Hoban Wash Washburn.
Ew.
Alright. Captain Mal, Wash, or Inara Serra, who was what was her official title? Companion. She was the companion on the ship.
Did you know that according to the books in Firefly, the books that contain the same universe.
Yeah.
some governments actually had machinery to remove the atmosphere from planets.
Nice.
So yes, we can take the skies from you.
Oh, wow. God darn it. Can't believe you did that. All right, so quick-witted. I said that. All right, this is a hard one because I'm going to have to kill Inara, have my night of passion with Malcolm Reynolds, and then marry Wash because he's the marrying kind. He's the guy you want to be with.
It's
so
you literally could have been speaking Spanish, and it would have made just about the same amount of
you
sense.
You really need to sit down and watch that show.
I really don't.
You so do. It is not overrated. How dare you?
So overrated.
Episode title, Zoe's Choice.
Ooh. Episode title, done.
Done. All right, and that's all we've got. So, it's been a great episode.
We can totally clickbait our 30 subscribers and just call it, I need to take a break.
That's funny. I still think it's going to be Dropkick Aidens. Well, you guys already know. If you're listening to the episode, you saw the episode title. You know who wins. But see, now, darn it, if we name it Dropkick Aidens, then they'll hear Dropkick Aidens, they'll see that that was the episode title, and then all the other suggestions that come up, they'll know they're not as good because, or they'll think
no,
that.
No, you know what? The shown title will be the Dropkick Aidens, but in our hearts and in our minds, You're Allowed to Have Your Own Feelings is the true title.
You are allowed to have your own feelings, by the way, just so you know.
Absolutely.
All right, so now we're all done?
No, we got to still have the platinum list.
All right, let's get the platinum list. All right. But you only have like two of them, so.
I have 12.
God darn it. All right, platinum list, what do you got for me?
Me and my father are recording the podcast later today. I decided to open up the segment a little early today. I sent this out at 6:44 a.m.
Yes.
We record in the afternoon. If there's anything you'd like us to say or read off, now is your chance. But the question today is, what's the name of your band and what kind of music do you play?
Okay.
And I have one from Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Who says, ooh, I'm partial to the golden oldies. That kind of era. Just something about those tunes and that lifts my spirit. If I had a band, it would be named something utterly ridiculous, like Songbirds Drowning in Hot Tar.
Aww.
Because I have no shame. I guess I'd be a singer because I don't know how to play instruments. Not sure if that was anything close to what you were asking, but there you have it.
Drowning Songbirds is actually not a bad band name. So, pretty good.
Alright. Then we have Trey. Hi, Trey. He says, I don't have a band, yo.
Thanks, Trey. I appreciate you playing along. That's what makes this awesome.
Alright, and from John. John says, Puppers Born of the Metacorn. We play an amalgamation of dubstep, metal, and country.
I'm on. That's awesome.
Dude, that's great. I like it.
Metacorn. That's pretty good.
It's from Kyle. Welcome to the Platinum List, Kyle.
Wait. Metacorn, is that like an ultimate type of unicorn, or is it an ultimate type of corn?
I think it's a mix between metal and corn.
Alright, go for it. It's Kyle.
It's from Kyle. Welcome to the Platinum List, Kyle. Poop Mattress. Emo Papa Billy. Yeah, okay.
Poop Mattress is awesome. I swear to God, that's not what that stain is. I swear. Alright, go ahead.
Ooh, from Eli, it's just an emoji of a middle finger.
God darn it, Eli. You can't name a band an abstract symbol unless you're Prince.
Thank you. From Chris. Chris says, what's the podcast called? It's Nerd Pride Radio. And
Yes. We'll tell you here, it's Nerd Pride Radio. You should go look it up.
Thank you for dissecting my frog for me. And have you guys ever talked about depression, anxiety, and mental illness in general?
Have we ever?
I was going to say, we just had a whole segment.
It's our bread and butter, people.
I hope it's not.
I just like to be really cheerful when I explain this.
It's been affecting me a lot lately. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for making fun of it then. Yeah. I mean, we weren't making fun of depression and anxiety. Right. We were making fun of ourselves.
Because we just did talk about this, and I don't read these ahead of time.
Right. We're funny people, but I'm sorry to hear that, man.
girl.
Oh, who was this one?
It's Chris.
Oh, it's Chris. I'm sorry. I thought this was, for some reason I was thinking this was still Trey. I don't know why. Because as far as
we're
I can tell, you only have
past
one. I know. Trey. I know. We're like three people past. But okay, Chris.
Got it.
Okay, then it still could have been a guy. I shouldn't have assumed gender. Go ahead.
You know, it's. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wish I could help more, but I'm on the other end of a microphone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could.
The next one I'm just gonna skip.
Why?
It's from you.
Oh, yeah.
It's... What?
You didn't see this before?
I don't read them ahead of time.
This had nothing to do with that. It was just me sending you another patriotic shirt.
It's the American flag made up of fireworks and red Solo cups. Hey, wow, your band name. Fireworks and Red Solo Cups.
Fireworks plus Red Solo Cups equals America. That's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the last one I sent him, I we were out shopping, and I sent him a picture of an American Eagle dabbing in front of a... No, an American Eagle painted in the colors of the flag while dabbing.
Oh.
That was the one I sent him. But this one, I saw the fireworks and Red Solo Cups making an American flag. I'm like, dude, gotta do this.
Jeez,
one.
Tim, I don't think you get it. We're actually supposed to have real responses. But no, thank you, Tim. This is actually very insightful. He says, I've actually had several bands, and we played a little bit of everything, except country, because we aren't monsters.
Oh, you know what? You people and your judgment. Look, I am not a huge country fan.
I like folk country and kind of old country, but this new stadium country is just awful.
Okay.
Just a bunch of millionaire metrosexual.
Look, 15 years ago, it was the thing to say, hey, I love all kinds of music. I mean, except rap. I'm not really into rap, but I like all kinds of music.
What?
All right. And they would think that all kinds of music means, well, because I like pop and I like rock and, I've occasionally listened to classical music. I like all kinds of music. But not rap. All right. Well, now rap is really in fashion. Rap is very mainstream now. And so now it's, well, I like all kinds of music, except country.
Except hip hop.
Yeah, okay. Except hip hop. I will give you that one. That is an abomination. A travesty, if you will. But here's the thing, is that country music, any type of country music, like any other kind of music, is 99% garbage. All music is 99% garbage, 1% awesome. And the thing is that, yeah, I'm not attracted enough to country to want to spend that time finding the 1%, but I have heard occasional country songs that I really, really like.
Are you done ranting?
Stumbled in my lap.
Tim had more to say.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that you are wrong.
Tim
has more to say. He might redeem himself, but you were wrong. All right, go ahead.
Satan in a Bowl was my first band.
Nice.
He wrote comedy songs, very poorly, I might add, but it was fun.
That's awesome.
Who Broke Dawn? ! Was my second band in high school. Again, comedy with a few nicer songs mixed in.
I am assuming that in this, Dawn is referencing an actual person named Dawn. Now, it may not be an actual person, but as in from the idea of Breaking Dawn and then Who Broke Dawn, I'm assuming that... Anyway, go ahead.
Not Bad for November was my last band, and that I mixed various people in and out with me to write a few songs. I did have a duo of doom, which was Josh, Roger, and I, and we wrote Things I Do, which came in third at our high school Battle of the Bands. You guys had a Battle of the Bands?
Yeah.
Why is my high school lame?
Your high school was never that cool.
Not Bad for November came in first with Where's Waldo, Best Friend Song, Part 2.
Oh, cool.
Those are up on YouTube somewhere. I will find those.
Yeah, we will definitely find those. That's awesome.
Yeah, all right.
Cool.
Next up is from Jacob.
Ooh, do I know Jacob? Well, I can't.
Can we even describe that on air?
All right. His answer is his band is Black Market Sourdough. We play contemporary Amish folk metal. And that is followed by a very As sexy as you could make Waluigi. That's what this picture.
From the neck down, it is a very attractive woman, and from the neck up, it is. It looks like it's Waluigi imitating a sparrow.
It is Waluigi in mid. Mwah!
It's horrifying. Nice. Why, Jacob?
Yes, you may see. It's still horrifying. Okay. Thank you, Jacob. Do we have more?
Yeah, we have... is there any coming back from that? And no, that's it.
All right. And then that's the end of it. Wow, that actually worked out really well. Good timing.
Except
so,
that end bit. That was the worst.
So, Noah, do you want to say goodnight?
Goodnight, Noah.
How about you, Aiden?
Goodnight.
Eli, you want to say goodnight? All right. R2, one more time. You guys are the best. We love you. So glad you came around. So glad you listened to us and put up with our garbage, even when we're just being silly. And you do absolutely have the right to your own feelings. Own them. You know what?
They are yours.
One other thing. If you know someone who you suspect is suffering from mental illness, depression, something, reach out to them. Like, actually, just go visit them. Spend a little time with them. Even if it's just a phone call, go hang out, talk, do something. Don't go ask them what they need. Don't go give them advice. Because when you ask them what they need and they're that depressed, they don't know. They don't, making choices really sucks. Exactly. Go spend some time with them and be kind. And if they don't want to spend time, you know.
Back off a little.
Yeah, exactly. Make the offer. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because, you know, look, just 30 minutes.
Don't sound needy, though.
But just reach out. Be there for them. Talk to them. But, yeah, don't tell them that it's all in their head. Don't tell them that they
need to cheer up.
Don't tell them they need to go get help. They already know. If they ask your advice, I suppose, yeah, you can. But, like, just telling them that here's what they need to do. God, when you're at the bottom of that pit, you can know what you need to do, and you can also go, yeah, but, God, that is so much work, and besides, it's probably not going to work anyway. I've already tried this, and then I screwed it up because I'm worthless, and now there's no point in even trying. Why am I going to go through all this effort? Because when it fails next time, I'm just going to feel even worse. Mm-hmm. All right? And if you're really depressed and you feel like I'm feeding into your stuff, then stop listening to me now, for God's sake. Reach out to somebody. Help them out. Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be rambling on like this. It's too long. But I love you guys. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Peace out. Can I say that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Peace out. Yeah, I like that. Feels good. Natural. Yeah. All right. Wait. No. Correction. I just hit stop, but, look, I said, don't ask them what they need. Just go do something with them. Hang out with them. You know, you can also ask them what they need. You can say, What is it that I could do that would help you right now? But also, sometimes they can't come up with anything. I mean, you can ask them what they want, and if they just want you to go away, or if they think it would be awesome if you just hung out with them. You know, we don't have to do anything. Can we just watch a movie together? If they have some ideas, awesome, and listen to them. But also, you know, don't rely on them to be able to make a decision about it, and make some offers. Have some things in mind that you guys could do together, whether it's play a board game, because I love that shit. Watch a movie. Just hang out. You want to go get coffee? Just, you know, no pressure. 30 minutes, an hour. You know what? Let's just hang out. If you don't like it, I'll go away. I'm not an expert. I'm just saying, from what I hear from people, just reach out. You know? All right. Anyway. All right. No, I was going to make a bad joke. We can be done now. All right. Good. I'm done.